This is On Target St. John's. A look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Linda Swain on Target St. John's is the show, and I have two special guests this afternoon. On my left-hand side is Trevor Murphy. He's the Senior VP of the Growlers. Hello.
Hello, Linda.
And on my right is Troy Croft. He's the Executive Director of SportNL.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in, both. The reason why you've been invited here today is that we had a little debate in our newsroom the other day, and a lot of my ideas are generated in this kind of way. And a couple of us are sport moms and dads, and we were talking about, some of the things that parents face when it comes to sports and keeping your kids active in sports, some of the challenges and some of the amazing benefits from that as well. And there's many more parents besides our little group in there that are similarly affected. So I guess I wanted to start with you, Troy. What are the benefits to young people when it comes to sports?
Well, obviously the primary benefit is health. I mean, obviously, and included in health is mental health. So, today, we have a lot of discussion around mental health, mental wellness and stuff like that. So obviously, well-being is obviously the primary goal. But then, of course, there's a number of other benefits to sport, participating in sport, life skills, leadership skills, working in teams, those sorts of things. So many benefits, but, certainly the promotion of lifelong active living, living in a healthy life is certainly the primary benefit for sure.
Cooperation and importantly, learning how to deal with disappointment and learning how to deal with victory without rubbing it in somebody's face. Trevor, that's also important.
No, I agree with Troy on the mental health side and the physical health, but just the life skills that you learn as you go through this process. And, both Troy and I went up through the minor sports system and played at different levels throughout. And I know personally, just the benefits I had from coming through sport, the life lessons I learned, leadership capabilities, when you're on different teams, being a good teammate, working hard, being committed to a schedule, other opportunities that you have, making time management, making all those things work. It's such a, the wins and losses are part of it, but certainly the life lessons and the memories we create and the friendships that we've had over the years through sport, those are the most important things. And if someone's lucky enough at some day to get a university scholarship or to play professionally, that's great. But, it's all the wonderful things we're talking about now, at mental health, physical health, and life lessons. That's the great thing about sports.
Socializing is a big part of it, too, because nowadays, you might have a couple of streets, but there's not that many kids on the street like you used to be one time, all the kids congregating in the street. So this is where they get to see other kids outside of school.
And outside of technology.
Well, indeed. Right? Yeah,
so,
that's a big part.
Yeah, so we live in that world now. And, obviously, that's definitely a motivating factor. For me, I'm a parent. I have kids involved in sport. And, definitely one of the reasons why I want them active as well is, take a break from that from time to time. But, yeah, socializing with their friends and being part of that community type of atmosphere is very important for sure.
There's pressures that come with that, though, of course, and a lot of people talk about the cost when it comes to sport. Does the sport need to cost a lot to a family?
It doesn't need to. Depending on what sport you choose, of course, and what level you choose to participate at. Of course, when you start getting into elite sport, it's going to cost more. Equipment is more, fees are more, coaching, fees for coaching cost more. Insurance is all part. So people don't really understand the full scope of what the costs encompass. But no, there's definitely sports out there that, cost very little. You need very little equipment. You think of sports like ultimate, soccer is, you don't need a lot of equipment, but it can be, costly at higher levels, but certainly at grassroots levels, I don't think it would be very costly. So, yeah, I think it's just depending on what sport you choose, there's definitely an opportunity there for any family to get involved.
And people do tend to get caught up with, when it comes to certain sports, the equipment and brand names and all that. That's not necessarily important either, is it?
No, and I'm kind of chuckling to myself because I think as a kid growing up, I always wanted like the best baseball glove or the nicest hockey stick or something. And, I think as parents, we try to do that for our kids now. And like Troy, I'm a parent. I've got two young people coming up through the through the system. But, you know, you don't need the best of stuff all the time or the best name. You need things to be protective. You need things to be able to, you know, perform in your sport. But you don't need the top name all the time. And sometimes, you know, if Johnny or Jenny have it, then you need, you know, you feel like you need to. But no, like you can get great secondhand stuff, you know, at different stores or through friends. So there are ways around it. And it's certainly nice to have the top level and top name. But definitely, no, you don't need it. You find stuff that protects you, that allows you to perform in your sport. So there's definitely other opportunities.
Hand-me-downs, too, I suppose, depending on how well-worn they are.
Well, I mean, and there are programs out there, too, that help families. You know, I know the Real program in St. John's, they do have equipment that they lend to families for a season of sport. There's funding programs that also help pay for registration fees. We have one at SportNL. Our charity is KidSport. We fund families to get their children involved in sports. So you know, even if they want to go that route and, you know, play the more expensive sports, then, yeah, there's still opportunities to kind of help cover some of those cost for sure.
How does a parent choose what sport to put a child in?
Hopefully they're talking to their child. Hopefully. You know, we've seen situations over the years where mom or dad played a certain sport and they're kind of driving their kids that way. But it comes down to having conversations at home with your child to see what they want to do, because, you know, you can force them one way, but if they're not enjoying it, then it probably becomes a very frustrating time for them, then also for you as a parent. So I think the biggest thing is talk to your child, see what they're interested in doing. And certainly as a parent, if you have some background in the sport, it's nice because you can provide some guidance along the way, but make sure it's something that the child wants to be in. So have those conversations at home, go through some of the pros and cons, you know, the time commitments, all those things involved, but make sure you're pushing your child, or not pushing your child, but asking your child which way they want to go, and then help support them along the way.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, that's definitely an important factor. Also, as a parent, I think we need to educate ourselves and look for quality sport experiences. So there's, you know, and there's a lot of factors that are included in that, you know, respectful environments, those sorts of things. But, you know, at the end of the day, we want to have our kids to have fun, as Trevor mentioned. But, you know, I think we need to play a role in that and decide what we think are quality experiences for our children, what environments are the best environments for our kids to participate in, you know, which programs provide the best opportunity for my kid to, you know, get involved, be involved, play as much as they can, have fun, those sorts of things. So there's definitely, you know, a lot of elements involved with that. And there's resources out there for parents to kind of help guide them through that as well.
Parents have a lot of ambitions, though, and so do kids, but a lot of them don't really know that until they get a bit older. But parents have a lot of ambitions for their kids, and if, for instance, you were involved in soccer and heavily involved in soccer, you want your child to do well in soccer and that sort of thing. But if they don't love it, it has a detrimental effect, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the biggest factor there is early specialization. And, you know, kids getting involved and playing 12 months a year at too young of an age. Any child before teenage years, they shouldn't be specializing. So parents should be making sure they're, you know, and that don't mean playing 10 different sports in a season, you know. You can still get burnout that way. But, you know, every season, try a different sport. And at the end of the day, like Trevor talked about, the kids will start deciding which sports they want to be involved with, which activities they want to be involved with, which ones are having the most fun at. So, you know, making sure that, you know, our kids are multi-sport kids and participating in as many sports as they can to avoid that burnout and avoid them, you know, losing interest in sport.
Is that true of professional athletes? Do they have a history of, you know, trying out different sports before specializing?
I think so. Like, you know, through my time out in Edmonton, through my time here now with the Ice Caps and the Growlers, you know, the players I've talked to over the years is that most of those players came through being multi-sport athletes. And, you know, you talk to them, they played baseball in the summertime, they played soccer, they did tennis, whatever it might be. And then they put the hockey skates on in, you know, August, September, and then played their season. And, you know, if you look back to, I think, in any sport, the top athletes are usually multi-sport athletes. They've tried different things and, you know, taking one skill from one sport or to the other, so cross-training. And, yeah, but, you know, for the players I've come across over the years, most of those people have been multi-sport athletes. And certainly, to Troy's point, that once they got to a certain age and they realized that they were at an elite level, then, yeah, some more focus, you know, when they're 14, 15, 16 years old and started striving towards, you know, a certain goal they had. But, yeah, you know, up till then, they were involved in different sports. And I just think it, and kind of to Troy's last point there, it just helps prevent burnout. Because if you're doing something 12 months a year, no matter what it is, any of us now, you know, at our age, or you know, if you're a 10-year-old kid, it's hard to keep passionate about something if you're doing it 12 months a year. And you might think when you're 10 years old, it's no problem, you enjoy it. But you know, I've seen young people, I've talked to young people about it, but you know, they did a sport for 12 months. They got to be 16, 17 years old, and they were done. They went a different direction altogether, but they just didn't want to do it anymore because they had been around whether the hockey rink or the baseball field so much that they were just done. And either they gave up sport totally or went in a totally different direction.
Trevor Murphy, Senior Vice President of the Growlers, and Troy Croft, Executive Director of Sport NL, are my in-studio guests this afternoon. We'll be back right after this.
This is On Target St. John's on VOCM. Now back to Linda Swain, On Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. Trevor Murphy, the Senior Vice President of the Growlers, who's got a really busy afternoon by the looks of things. And Troy Croft, the Executive Director of Sport NL, are my in-studio guests. And we're talking about parents and kids and sports and all the wonderful things and benefits to young people that accrue from sports. But there's some difficulties as well. And one of the things I know as a sport parent, we had to go through that little respect in sport program. And it was what really struck me as I was doing it was, you know, the scenarios were so realistic. And I think we've all seen those kinds of bad behaviors play out at some point or another. Do you see a lot of that, Troy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess every sport has it, and depending on the sport, I guess will depend on the intensity of it. But no doubt, there's situations where, you know, the whole respectful environment comes into play, and for whatever reason, there are people out there that feel that by voicing their opinions at a referee, at a coach, at a kid, you know, that somehow they'll be heard. But it does more damage than it does anything in terms of that quality sport experience that children are experiencing. Because they see that. Even if they're not talking to the child or they're screaming at a coach or an official, the child sees that and it makes everybody uncomfortable. And it doesn't make for a good quality sport experience. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it happens. But, you know, I think that's, you know, in terms of parents, you know, they need to understand that there's limits and there's barriers when you go and watch and spectate at sports. And, you know, you're there as a spectator. You're not there as a coach. You're not there as an official. So, you know, we need to let those people do their jobs. And, you know, they've been trained to do that. And you know what? If they want to do that, they should sign up and do that and volunteer and be a coach, be an official. But I think, you know, with that being said, I think there's people are becoming more educated and there's more information out there. And I think it's getting better, but there's still work to be done for sure in that area.
Do we need to call it out when we see it?
It's a tough one, and we've had this discussion around the boardrooms over the years in, you know, minor hockey and minor baseball situations, and it's tough to ask a parent to step up and tell another parent to give it up, you know, and we've seen it, and some parents are fine doing that, but kind of to Troy's point that then if the wrong interaction takes place and then it becomes like a physical confrontation or something or a yelling match among parents, and it just puts a big dark cloud over what's happening. So, you know, I think it's okay that if you know the parent, you can kind of just give them a reminder that, hey, this, remember what this is all about right now. But I also believe there's a proper way to go through things. And, you know, if you have a concern with parental behavior or you have a concern with a call that was made in a game or a coach's act, whatever it might be, there's a proper procedure to go through it. And I think that's what parents need to be reminded of, is that just, you know, the whole 24-hour rule, you know, take a deep breath. If it's still bothering you after 24 hours, well, then bring it forward to somebody. But, you know, dealing with it on a soccer field or on a basketball court or a hockey rink, you know, that's not the time to do it. You know, there's a proper way to go about it, keeping your cool. And like you said, I think I'd be very careful about, you know, confronting people. That's a very touchy one.
I found myself in that same position myself just this spring. We were at a karate tournament and watching a couple of young children compete, and they were doing point scoring at the time. And this one child came in second just by a matter of a single point. And the parent grabbed him by the shoulders. He was only, you know, more than 10 years old. They grabbed him by the shoulders, and he was speaking to him in French, but I understand French, and he was saying, second place, what's wrong with you? And I mean, the kid was crying, and he was, you know, just a foot or two away from most of us, and we were just horrified. We didn't know, but he was so unreasonably mad, we were afraid to intervene. And it's a feeling I'll never get over, and my little fella I know is not going to get over it anytime soon. It was really something to behold. It almost ruined the entire experience.
for everyone.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Spectators for the child, most importantly for the child. And as Trevor mentioned, you know, there's a proper way to handle it. And I mean, you know, you don't want to escalate the situation either and make things worse. And you know, those were unfortunate situations. And you know, I don't think that's the first time that child experienced that from that parent, which is
that's
unfortunate.
That's the sad part.
Yeah, absolutely. So you don't know what's going on when, you know, they're not at the venues, those types of things. So, you know, and there are resources out there for parents to kind of look at that stuff. I mean, there is a video that's recently been developed. It's The Ride Home, and you can go to therideHome.ca and see the video. It's just a quick YouTube video, and you know, talks about it has a negative spin, of course, what not to do. But again, children, the interaction immediately following an activity, that's the most important and critical time for them to get that feedback. If it's positive, then it's going to be fun for them. But if, you know, and that's the important thing, to keep things fun for them. And when you go and view that at that website, there are some resources there, you know, in terms of how parents can, you know, make things fun for their kids, you know, how they should, you know, interact in a situation like that, and you know, how to conduct themselves when they're at sport activities.
Yeah, I totally agree with that point, Troy, about that hour or so after a competition ends. Because, yeah, you're going to be upset if you don't finish first, or you don't make the playoffs. Like, yeah, you're going to be upset. That's normal. That's adults or kids. But how the parent reacts in that time frame can make a huge difference in that child's experience.
Right.
And we all know it. I've seen it at home with my two kids, that they're disappointed. They go home. Half hour later, they're back on their video game. They're out on the street playing ball hockey, whatever the case might be. It's all good again.
Yeah.
But for that half hour, 45 minutes, whatever it might take, you know, what you say and what you do is going to be a key piece of how your child reacts.
And it's difficult. It's difficult as a parent not to provide feedback. You know, my son, he plays hockey, and I mean, I'm not a coach. I coach baseball, but I don't coach hockey. I'm not a coach. I played hockey, you know, and I know hockey, but it's just so hard not to provide the feedback. But you gotta, you know, let the coaches do their job and provide that feedback. You know, as parents, I think our job is to, you know, encourage our children to make sure that they're, you know, having fun and enjoying themselves, and they're, you know, it's a fun and safe environment for them.
My kid is still quite young, but I do find there's more and more parents and coaches who, after a game, especially if it went in the toilet, will say, "Hey, great job! You know, you did a good job out there anyway. Good game! You know, like you give it your all, even though the kids are coming in, their faces are all, you know, they're scuffing their feet and all the rest of it." Yeah. But there is a lot of that positive reinforcement that I found very positive.
No, for sure, and it has to happen. And I believe whether the kid is 6 years old or 16 years old or 60 years, like, they know when they made mistakes. They know if they had a bad game. As a coach, as a parent, you don't need to remind them they had a bad game. They know that. You know, can you help them get better? Absolutely. Can you give them some positive feedback? Absolutely. But they know they had a tough game. And, you know, most of the conversations in my car after games, and kind of like Troy, is that, you know, I coach baseball, I coach hockey, but I try my best that the ride home, there's no talk about the game. If one of my two kids say, "Hey, can we talk about it?" No problem at all. But usually it's, "Hey, did you have a good time? Everything good in the dressing room? Did you have some fun today?" That's the extent of the conversation. And while the coach in me wants to try and give some feedback, you know, the dad in me says, "Hey, you know, these rides back and forth to the hockey rink or the baseball field won't last very long. I want to enjoy these moments and, you know, enjoy the time we have together." So it's more about just, again, did you have fun? Did you enjoy it? What did you think? And then that's it. Done. And then the feedback can come at another time.
Is it tough on coaches when it comes to that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I've seen it. I've experienced it myself as a coach. You know, you're coaching, and you can hear parents from the sidelines, coaching from the sidelines. You know, as coaches, you know, they're trained to provide a certain set of skills and, you know, develop athletes, and that's their job. And, you know, when you're teaching them, you know, what you've learned, whatever skill that might be, and you have a parent on the sidelines screaming something different, it's difficult. It's difficult to deal with. And, of course, now you're faced with two scenarios. One, how do you deal with that parent? And number two, how do you, you know, keep the kids focused, you know, on what you're teaching them? So absolutely, it's difficult on coaches to constantly have those, you know, sideline coaches type of thing. And but, you know, a lot of coaches can deal with that and keep their athletes focused. But as a parent, you need to understand that, yeah, that is difficult for coaches, especially keeping young kids focused.
And, of course, the coaches are volunteers, and we'll talk a little bit more about that right after this.
This is On Target St. John's on VOCM. Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. Our in-studio guests this afternoon are Trevor Murphy, Senior Vice President of the Growlers, and Troy Croft, Executive Director of Sport NL. We're talking about kids and parents and families and sports and volunteers. Just before the break, we touched a little bit about coaching and that sort of thing, and finding volunteers is always challenging, I would imagine. What's it like? Is it tough to find and keep volunteers when it comes to sport?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and I suppose like no other sector, I guess, but sport, yeah, and that's the world I live in. So, it's hard to retain volunteers. I mean, you get a lot of volunteers that are there because their child is playing, you know, coaches, whatever, executive members, whatever that might be. But once their child moves on, then they tend to move on. You know, events, you know, it's a short period of time. People tend to volunteer for an event. But then, the tough part is getting volunteers to sit on a board or an executive, whatever it might be, for an entire year to help run that organization. Because there is, outside of the actual physical field or court of play, whatever it might be, there's a lot of activities that happen. And, a lot of groups rely on volunteers to make those things happen, whether it's fundraising, you know, running events, whatever that might be. Board governance, those sorts of things. So definitely volunteers are valuable, and they are hard to come by, and most importantly hard to retain.
It's a big commitment too.
It is, and as Troy was talking, I was thinking about the number of people that you see volunteering for multi-sports. It's a lot of the same faces you would see. So whether it's at a basketball court or a soccer field or a hockey rink, whatever it might be, you know, it's the commitment that volunteers make, not only in sport but just in, you know, the community in general, is phenomenal. And it's certainly almost like a part-time job and maybe a full-time job for some people. Yeah. But when you get people that are truly passionate about it, who are there for the right reasons, the difference they're making in young people's lives is incredible. And so, you know, minor sports doesn't happen without volunteers, but it is tough to keep them involved. And when you're hearing some of the negative things that come out about sport and some of the issues that volunteers are dealing with, then it's even tougher to get them, you know, involved. And if you do get them in for a year or two, you know, if they're dealing with, you know, BS every week, then that's tough for them to deal with, because, you know, they have their own stuff going on at home or their own stuff going on at the workplace. They don't need it in their volunteer world. So I think it's important for, you know, sports organizations and, you know, pro teams and everybody else to really try and hammer home the positive messaging of sports, the idea of respecting your volunteers, respecting officials. And if we see more of that, then hopefully at some point you'll see more volunteers stepping up, because they've seen the other stuff, basically get rid of or be taken away from the game. And it's more that positive piece that we're trying to promote.
And Trevor just mentioned officials. I mean, that's, you know, with any sport, officials are key. You know, nothing happens without referees, you know, umpire, whatever it might be, any type of official. And the number one reason officials leave a sport is because of the abuse they take from spectators, coaches, whatever it might be. So the whole respecting the environment and the officials, that whole thing is key. And not just for the kids, but again, for those people that we rely on so heavily to make sure that there are activities happening, we need to make sure that, you know, that we have a positive environment for them. I mean, some of these kids are, you know, young teenagers, and they don't have the experience to deal with some of the things that are thrown at them. So we have to keep that in mind when we're at an event. But yeah, volunteers are for our members at SportNL, which would be the provincial sport organization of the province. That's one of the number one things that they constantly give us feedback on, is volunteer retention.
And such an important role too. And I'm sure if I was to ask you to right now, if there's any coach that comes immediately to you, I'm sure you can think of at least one person that made a difference in your life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, I've played sport my whole life. I've, you know, my background is sport. And I mean, every coach I ever had some sort of an impact on my life. And, you know, there's no doubt that they play a key role in shaping and molding our kids and who they become as adults and those sorts of things.
No, I 1,000% agree that, I think back to all the coaches I had, whether through minor sport, you get into junior and senior. You know, every coach, kind of to your point, Troy, had some type of impact. And you learn from every coach. And for me personally, I certainly enjoyed the coaches who were very knowledgeable and gave back and taught us the game. But I've got just as much respect for that coach who gave of their time, was just a great person, you know, giving you the high five, the pat on the back. May not have been as knowledgeable about the game, and maybe the technical side wasn't as strong, but just made it such a positive influence on you as a young person growing up. You know, just knowing that person, you know, cared about you enough to give up their time, to spend time, you know, on the playing field with you. So technical experience or not, just, you know, showing that you really care about the athlete makes a huge difference for that young person.
Troy, you mentioned earlier the importance of sport and keeping kids off of their devices, whatever they happen to be, or their game systems. What role does social media play now? Is that added to some of the difficulty that kids are facing when they're
Yeah, I think so. You know, social media, obviously, there's a lot of things happen on social media. It's instant feedback. And I mean, you know, when we talk about bullying and stuff like that, obviously, you know, there's a lot of bullying going on social media, and it's becoming an issue in our world, of course, that we have to now develop social media policies for teams that travel and those sorts of things. So, yeah, and, you know, how you conduct yourself on social media, that's important, you know, as a coach, as an athlete. You know, when we send our Canada Games teams away, you know, we want to make sure that they're conducting themselves, they're representing the province, they're representing their families, their communities, that sort of thing. So, you know, social media is, you know, everybody except me, I think, is there. But anyway, social media, it plays a key role, and anything and everything is there. And, you know, I think we need to be careful when we're dealing with social media, especially as, you know, people, coaches, you know, the people that are in you know, roles of responsibility, those sorts of things. You know, it's challenging and how you should conduct yourself and what you can and can't post, but it definitely plays a role.
No doubt, you've seen that in your professional career.
Oh, for sure, and it's something that you know, we've heard stories, I guess horror stories, about what athletes have posted over the years, and people got to realize once they post it, it's there. You may delete it on your phone, but if it's out there for 5 seconds, someone has a chance to copy and paste it, forward it, you know, like it, whatever it might be. So you had to be so careful. And, you know, it kind of goes back to thinking, is this something you really want to post? You know, maybe take your 24 hours and think about it. And we were kind of chatting during the break there, but, you know, as young people, you know, if you didn't make a team or something negative happened in the game, well, you might hear about it at school the next day or on the street. But now in today's world, you're hearing about, you know, groups of people kind of ganging up on their friends, or I guess it's hard to call them friends that are ganging up on each other. But, you know, just that instant feedback, as Troy just mentioned, that's on social media. That was something we didn't deal with as when we were growing up and being athletes in our communities. But in today's world, it's different. And it's something that it's social media is such a great tool. It's a very valuable tool, and there's so many wonderful things about it. But it's also the devil in some ways, too, that you got to be so careful with it, what you're saying. And kind of to Troy's point, like, you know, all pro teams now have social media policies. So, you know, whether you're a pro athlete or a 10-year-old athlete, you just need to be careful of what you're doing with social media, whether it's a picture from a dressing room of your teammate, whether it's something you're saying about the game. And then same thing for board members and coaches and parents. You know, just be cautious of what you're putting out there, because it could come back, you know, at some point to affect what's going on.
And I suppose it's one thing to hear somebody from the stand saying, "You suck," and it's a whole other thing to be getting that message repeated to you throughout your weekend and into the week ahead.
Yeah, no one wants to see that. And, you know, at the top of the show, we talked about the benefits of sport and the positivity it should be surrounded by. Well, that's what it should be. Like we said a few minutes ago, too, that if you make a mistake, we don't need parents and teammates to tell us. We know we made a mistake. A 6-year-old knows they made a mistake. That's fine. Let it go. If your biggest concern, you know, on a Saturday is that your child didn't score a goal, well, you know what? You're doing okay in life. You're going to be okay, because you hear about all these stories of, you know, sick children and people going through struggles. Like, you know what? If your team didn't win a game today, things are going to be okay. And you take lessons from it, you learn from it, and then make it better. But, you know, let's keep the big picture in perspective here and what sport is really all about.
And I guess the bigger thing is, you know, once something gets posted negative, or, you know, especially negative, I guess then the platform's there for other people to comment and chime in on it, versus, you know, you're just getting feedback at school or in a gym, you know, whatever. It's there. It's you know, you don't deal with it. You don't necessarily, no one's saying there's not comments happening, but you don't have to look at it and read them and that sort of thing. So, you know, I think we need to be careful, especially, you know, what we're posting and what we're commenting on social media. As Trevor said, it can be a great tool. Lots of resources on there for coaches, for administrators, those sorts of things, for athletes, for parents. But again, as Trevor said, it could be detrimental as well in terms of what we're posting and the negative feedback that we're providing.
Trevor, you said that there's a social media policy for teams. Is the same true of minor sports?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things we manage is Team NL going to Canada Games, and we have a social media policy for athletes, coaches, anyone goes to the games. And we're finding more and more more other sports, minor associations, club teams, whatever it might be, all-star teams, travel teams. Social media policies are becoming more and more relevant these days.
Some great things happening in Newfoundland and Labrador. We've got a lot of talent. We often hear about our musicians and our artists and all those kinds of things, but we've got some really talented athletes as well. And of course, we're seeing a lot of what's going on with the Growlers lately. Any real good news stories you guys have off the top of your head you want to share?
Well, tomorrow we got a gold medal game in the Para Cup happening in Paradise. Local Liam Hickey playing for Team Canada. So, I mean, that's definitely a good news story to see that, see those local athletes excelling. I mean, Liam's a great individual, you know, multi-sport athlete. I mean, he plays two sports, of course, at least. But I think that's a great story. I mean, you know, and you know, I think it's important to highlight those stories as well for our young people to get inspired, you know, to participate and get involved in, you know. We're in the business of organized sport, and that's, you know, that's what we do. But you know what? At the end of the day, if it inspires someone to go and put a hoop in their driveway or shoot, you know, pucks with their friends in the street or whatever, then, you know, we're all about that as well. We can't forget the whole element of play as well.
And Liam's got a pretty inspiring story, too. I noticed that Hockey Canada put out a little video this morning about that, and we've shared it on our VOCM webpage, too. Imagine an 11-year-old playing with adults. It's just amazing. What a break he had there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's about finding what's good for you, and then that's, you know, I guess that's what Liam and his parents did when they came up. And I mean, you know, so often a child, you know, tries out for an activity or, you know, it doesn't make a team, and then they give up, they don't try something different. So, you know, there's always opportunities out there to get involved, and you know, he excelled at a young age in his chosen sports, and you know, there's many opportunities for kids out there to do that. You just have to find that right sport that fits for you, right?
And won't it be exciting to get gold on home ice?
Absolutely.
Oh, I've been up and I've seen four or five games, and I was assisting the host committee on some things, and I've been absolutely amazed by the caliber of these players, the skill level they have. I'm sitting there watching my mouth wide open. Just the stuff they're doing on the ice is incredible. But we were kind of chatting again before the show, but you know, every one of those players has a story. And that's what I find truly incredible. You know, you were saying, Troy, that some of these gentlemen are war vets, or some may have been born with a certain defect, or, you know, but the challenges they faced over their lives, and these gentlemen who are playing this para hockey are true elite athletes, and the condition that they're in. And like I said, if Canada can have a great game here against the U.S. on Saturday night, then I think that'd be a phenomenal sports story. And, you know, we talked about Liam, but just I've been so impressed. I don't know Liam real well, but I've met him a few times, and I know his dad, and just very impressed by the way he carries himself. And I think he's kind of opened up a little bit now, maybe being in his hometown and having a little bit of additional spotlight on him. But just a phenomenal young man doing great things. Parents kind of seem to have it all in perspective, what it's all about. And it's been very cool to see them up in the stands cheering every game. And there's so many positive news stories, and Liam is one of them. But you know, the players we have now, through, you know, whether it be more baseball players getting a chance at the next level, soccer players, hockey players, that there are players out there who are getting opportunities to go to that next level. There's lots of positive stories happening here in this province, and that's something that I like, the shows like this kind of celebrating that, as opposed to hearing the negative things, because there are so many positive things going on each and every day in our sporting world. There'll be 500 great stories this weekend throughout the province about sports. And we won't hear about them all, unfortunately, but that's what you had to remember. This is the sports world is a wonderful one, and we can't lose sight of that.
Well, that's what makes sports so amazing, is that everybody has an amazing story to tell.
Absolutely.
And it's not just about the game, it's about getting there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it could be anything. It could be a child, it could be a volunteer, it could be an organization, you know. I mean, volleyball, for example. I mean, you know, we host one of the largest volleyball tournaments in the country, and that should be celebrated. You know, so many kids being active and getting out and participating, being with their friends, socializing, not on social media, not on their devices, those sorts of things. So,
and having fun.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the most important thing, and is, you know, kids having fun, people having fun, enjoying themselves. It leads to, you know, really good quality of life for everybody, and you know, that's what contributes to our communities and the value that sport plays in our communities.
Troy Croft, Executive Director of Sport NL, and Trevor Murphy, Senior VP of the Growlers, are my in-studio guests, and everybody listening is going, well, what's going on with the Growlers these days? Well, we'll find out right after this.
Be sure to check in with Claudette Barnes this afternoon, 2 to 5 on VOCM. Late-breaking local news, classic hits, and updates on all things fun. The Drive Home this afternoon at 2 on VOCM. Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. Our special in-studio guests this afternoon, and a very interesting conversation, I have to say, are Troy Croft, the Executive Director of Sport NL, and Trevor Murphy, the Senior Vice President of the Growlers. And I'm going to ask you, Troy, what are we doing really well here in Newfoundland and Labrador when it comes to sport?
Well, you know, we talked about a lot of things here today, and of course, you know, we talked a lot about coaches. And I think, you know, coaches are integral to anything we do in sport. You know, they are key to, you know, running programs, teaching our children the proper skills, those sorts of things. So, you know, in the province, I think we're doing a really good job at coach development. We are the only province currently that's offering free coach training to our multi-sport segment of coaching. We're kind of a model across the country. You know, everybody else charges, and it's, you know, there's enough barriers to people getting involved. And of course, you know, to train as a coach is not cheap. There are costs associated with it. Now, some organizations cover those costs, but, you know, some don't. So for coaches to go out and get certified, get their training, have the proper training so they can teach our kids the proper skills, it can get costly. But we do deliver the multi-sport aspect of coach development here in the province at no cost to coaches. So, you know, all they have to do is, sign up to do the coaching courses. They're offered at various times throughout the year. SportNL.ca is our website. You can find the information there. But, you know, I think that's integral to everything. I mean, our coaches, Trevor and I, we just talked a little, you know, last segment about how valuable coaches were in our lives and what impact they have. So, you know, it's important that the coaches have the proper skills as well for their sake, not just the kids. And, you know, that's important. So I think that's something that we're doing very positive here in the province right now. And it's a building block for everything else sport related as well.
Another good news story, of course, is the Growlers and the success of the Growlers. Kelly Cup champions, for goodness sake, first year on the ice. So how are we doing?
We're doing well. Certainly last year's success was very special. You know, the first time a professional championship came to the province, so it was phenomenal to be a part of. And this year, another great team, really great group of players. They've been exciting to watch. This past week, we bumped back into first place in our division. We had two great games against Reading, very exciting games, an overtime victory on Tuesday, and then a 6-4 win on Wednesday. Two more big games this weekend now against the Worcester Railers, who are another division opponent. It's an exciting time right now for the Growlers. You know, with you look at our lineup, and certainly having the three local guys there with Malindi, Power, and O'Brien, who it's nice to have the local players, but they've been very important members of our team. You know, Malindi's our captain, and O'Brien and Power among our top scorers and top offensive players. So it's a lot of fun to watch. And then, you know, in terms of other guys, the Maple Leafs have put some great prospects here to be a part of the Growlers with, you know, five NHL contracts. I believe it's 12 AHL contracts. So, you know, these kids can play. And it's we were kind of just chatting earlier that it's an exciting brand of hockey to watch because you've got some very high skilled players. There's some mistakes, but from a fan perspective, that was what makes it fun to be a part of and to watch each night. So lots of good things happening on the ice, and lots of great promotions coming up this weekend and then into the new year. So, we're looking forward to a great great December and a great second half of the season here, and let's see what happens. But it's been a lot of fun to be a part of.
Big support. Lots of support?
Support's been good. Yeah, you know, this past week now, again, our numbers were a little lighter, but Tuesday and Wednesdays are tough, and certainly being in, exam week for university students and December, lots of holiday parties and concerts and everything else happening. But, you know, we've got a dedicated fan base, and down at the rink, they're making noise for us. You know, talking about social media, they're all over social media, kind of pumping out the Growlers and showing your support for the Growlers. So we certainly appreciate it, and it's been, I've found it amazing here in the last 6-7 months, and even into last year, maybe, but you know, the number of Growlers hats and t-shirts and sweatshirts and jerseys you're seeing in minor hockey rinks or airports or schools, it's very cool to see. So the support has been great. You know, there's always room on
they're beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, and that's something that I know their ownership took a lot of pride in when the jerseys first came out, of the look and the brand, and we're certainly very proud of it. Support's been wonderful, and there's always more room on the bandwagon for Growlers fans, but it's been great. And like I say, there's a very dedicated fan base, which we appreciate, and it's certainly made it be a lot of fun to be around.
You were talking about the noise because I grew up in Montreal, so I'm used to a lot of noise at a hockey game, and I used to find that the Newfoundlanders were very, you know, sort of, you know, they give you a little bit when the sign came up, that sort of thing, but generally speaking, it's starting to build now. People are becoming, you know, more...
For sure. I think one of the things with the Growlers is that they know it's their team. You know, and, you know, Troy was involved back in the Leafs days, and then I was involved with the Ice Caps, you know, and you just never knew how long they're going to be around for and what the next story was. But this is the province's team right now. This is the Newfoundland Growlers. You know, Dean has been very dedicated to this program, and Glenn, like, they want this team to be here for a long time. And I think that's something special when you got that Newfoundland provincial identity on your jersey, and, you know, the province is getting behind it, and they've seen some success early in the organization's play here. It's a lot of fun, and people are getting behind and making some noise, getting involved in the games, and it's a fun atmosphere to be around. And like I said, we're looking forward to some great promotions here over the next you know, few games, and then into January and so on. So it's definitely an exciting time, and the fact that we have a great team on the ice certainly, you know, really contributes to that.
I don't want to jinx anything, but have we got another playoffs in us?
I hope so. I don't like talking about that stuff ahead of time. I can't jinx anything or be that guy. But no, but certainly the team is a great hockey team, and they're fun to watch. And I think if they play their game, they can certainly make another playoff run and just get into the playoffs and see what happens. Because the playoffs, as we know, is a different season altogether, and funny things happen. But this is certainly a team of capable to make a good run here.
Long-term history, where you said this is our team, are we here, the Growlers here to stay?
I hope so, and I think signing that 10-year deal with Mile One Center was a big part of that. And, you know, there's you know, the relationship with the Toronto Maple Leafs is huge, and they've been totally invested in what's going on here as an organization, which has been phenomenal. And they're very proud of the brand and very proud of what's going on here, and they see it as an important part of their development piece. And, you know, their general manager Kyle Dubas, and, you know, their other assistant general managers, Mike Dixon, with their player personnel, and he's here this weekend watching. So they've had people funneling through here to keep an eye on these players. So they're invested. I know Dean and Glenn are very invested in this program, and they have big plans for this team.
Exciting stuff. Anything interesting around the corner? Any big promotions coming up?
Well, tonight we've got our Batman night, so lots of cool promotions going on in game. Lots of cool features on the video board and such. So that'll be a fun game. Tomorrow night we've got our annual Teddy Toss, which is always a big night. You know, so if you're coming down to the game, please bring along a stuffed animal or stuffed teddy bear of some type with you. And also very cool tomorrow night too, we're also wearing a throwback jersey, the St. John's Maple Leafs. We're gonna wear that tomorrow night, so it'll be the first time that's been worn, I guess, since the team left. Yeah. So it's going to be very cool to see the Maple Leafs jerseys back on the ice and having that connection to the Growlers. Yeah, it's going to be a pretty special weekend for sure.
Somewhere in a closet somewhere, I have that original 1991 calendar, and I keep meaning to haul that out at some point and show my son, but I can't find it for the life of me right now. Some final thoughts, Troy, about sport overall in Newfoundland and Labrador?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's important for parents to educate themselves, as we talked about earlier. Just, you know the key age, I guess, you know, physical literacy is a big thing right now. So the preschool kids, you know, before they go to school, that's a really important time for them. You know, we talk about our kids learning how to read and write. You know, they also need how to run, jump, throw. You know, they need to develop those skills that are going to be the foundation for lifelong physical activity. So, you know, I think, you know, it's important for parents to be educated, look for quality sport programs that they can be involved with, get their kids active at an early age, you know, and make sure that, you know, we're giving our kids a variety of activities, sports and activities. You know, don't focus too early. You know, before the teen years, there's no need to be specialized in one sport. Try many sports over the seasons, and you know, go look for the resources. You know, just go to our website. We have a bunch of resources that can be found there. You know, a lot of parents, they just don't have the knowledge. We get calls all the time, you know, what activity should I register my kid in? But again, as Trevor said earlier, you know, let them have some input as well. What's fun for them? And but, you know, as parents, I think educate yourselves in terms of, you know, what are the quality, what am I looking for my child? You know, what's a safe quality, you know, sport environment for my child to be participating in? I think that's some of the key things to look for.
Less than 2 minutes, your thoughts?
No, I just enjoy the experience. It's sports is such a wonderful part of our lives. You know, enjoy taking your child to their event, to their activity, and don't get caught up in wins or losses or how many goals they're scoring or how many points they're getting. Just enjoy the experience because it goes by very fast. And you know, if your child is a strong enough athlete to get that opportunity to the next level, they'll get there, you know. And certainly, as you know, as moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, like, we can support that. But you'll find out quite quickly, you know, in a young person's development, you know, what they're made of, the physical part, the mental part, and you'll see if they want it bad enough. If they want it bad enough, they'll push themselves. They'll try and create their own opportunities. But I think as parents and coaches, administrators, and everyone involved in the game, just support these young people. You know, get behind them, give them a positive environment to be in, and that growth will happen. But without that positive environment, without the positive feedback and the atmosphere, then they're gonna have some tough times. But just be positive, enjoy the experience, and keep that big picture in perspective.
And do it for the right reasons. You know, less than 1% of kids become pro athletes. So keep that in mind when you're pushing your child to, you know, be the next Wayne Gretzky or whatever. You know, very few kids will get to that level, you know, but, you know, just make sure you're doing it for the right reasons.
Troy Croft, Executive Director, Sport NL, and Trevor Murphy, Senior Vice President of the Growlers. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in this afternoon. Very interesting conversation. And for all the parents and kids out there, go out, have fun this weekend, and keep it real, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Linda.
All right, bye-bye.
Local.